Hello, it's Anthony Walker here, and welcome to my very first podcast for Washington Concert Opera. Today I want to share with you operatic moments of hope, optimism, and joy, moments that I personally find very meaningful. It's not an understatement to say that most operas written in the last 200 years end in tragedy, and we have such great composers as Giuseppe Verdi and Giacomo Puccini to thank for that. But many of you would be surprised to know that before 1815, operas generally ended with a lieto fine, or a happy end, regardless whether the subject matter of the opera was tragic or comic. In my podcast today, in these times of pandemic, social unrest, and uncertainty of the future, I want to highlight moments in opera that provide these messages of hope and optimism and also unity born out of struggle. And there's no place better to start than with Beethoven's Leonore. Actually, there might be one better place to start, Mozart's Le Nozze di Figaro, but that masterpiece will feature in my next podcast, my Bastille Day special, in July, as I'll devote that whole offering to Gallic music and art born of the French Revolution. Let's get back to Beethoven, though. In December 2020, the music-loving world celebrates the 250th anniversary of the birth of Ludwig van Beethoven, one of the most extraordinary composers who ever lived, and a passionate champion of equality and freedom from political oppression. In 2017, I was privileged to be able to program his 1805 opera Leonore, reworked in 1814 as Fidelio, for Washington Concert Opera. It's an energized celebration of heroism in the face of totalitarianism and injustice, with the promise of a better world if the people can demand equality. Taking his ideas from the French Revolution, where the former third estate of the French Ancien Régime, the middle class and peasants, usurped the first estate, nobility, and second, clergy, to eventually found a republic where all citizens were viewed as equal, Beethoven synthesized his views on social reform into a blazing and moving score in a way that speaks profoundly to our hearts and souls even today. There are two particular moments in Leonore that I'd like you to listen to that are full of hope. The first is also very poignant, and the second is also full of joy. There are many wonderful moments in the opera, but these two in particular stand out to me as something rather rare. There is a message of hope and humanity in both of them, as well as music and text that can really reach deep inside your heart. The first one of these moments we'll listen to in just a minute, and the second one we'll listen to at the very end of this podcast. The first excerpt I'd like to share with you is O Gott, o welch ein Augenblick. O God, what a moment this is. This excerpt starts towards the end of the Act 3 finale, after Leonore has freed her husband Florestan, who's been basically being starved to death in a dungeon. Leonore and Florestan realize that their nightmare is finally over, and the relief and hope that they express and that is expressed by the rest of the principals and taken up by the chorus is sublimely beautiful and very moving. Beethoven structures this ensemble brilliantly. He starts it with just a couple of instruments and Leonore singing, almost speaking in a halting way, as if stunned by what's just occurred. This sort of static musical moment is extended by the rest of the principals, and then when the chorus surges in, singing the same text, but with a fervor and in joy and hope, it's a spine-tingling moment. And I can't think of any comparable moment in opera up to this point. Oh, God. Of course, it's not unusual in Beethoven to hear music of ringing and soaring optimism. You just have to think of the last movement of his Fifth Symphony, or the Eroica, or of course, the last movement of his famous Ninth Symphony. But Leonore was his only opera, and the themes of social justice and heroism and equality of mankind and also of the sexes was very, very important to Beethoven, so important that he agonized over this opera for, well, the better part of a decade. And what you heard was an excerpt from Leonore, which then he renamed as he reworked it into the Fidelio that we know from 1815. So, what other operas have a similar message to Leonore? Or indeed, are there any other operas with a similar message of hope and optimism for the future? For the purposes of this presentation, I'm going to leave out the operas that end with a religious apotheosis, or transcendence, or deus ex machina intervention, like Monteverdi's L'Orfeo and many Baroque operas, Idomeneo, Suor Angelica, Faust, Tristan, Isolde, or Les Dialogues des Carmélites. I'd like to concentrate on the works that offer, at least in part, a humanist message of hope, justice, and freedom, similar to Leonore, and notice that composers created some of their most beautiful music when inspired by those ideals. It's difficult to associate Rossini's Guillaume Tell of 1829 with a serious message of hope, justice, and freedom, particularly as a few generations of Americans associate the masterful overture with either the Lone Ranger TV series or the exciting piece they heard in an orchestral pops or children's concert for the first time when a child. But as Beethoven did with Leonore, Rossini composed Guillaume Tell in a most serious way, and although Rossini did not have the same passion for social justice as Beethoven did, his final opera blazes from beginning to end with fervor, beauty, and drama, propelled by a gripping libretto taken from Schiller's play of the same name. Guillaume Tell was a Swiss folk hero who reputedly was an expert marksman with the crossbow, who successfully saved himself and his young son from death by famously shooting an apple from the top of his son's head, and who then went on to assassinate the Habsburg governor of Switzerland, Albrecht Gessler. Although the legend is from the 14th century, Tell and fellow patriot Arnold von Winkelried were important symbols in the formation of modern Switzerland in the 19th century, and Rossini surely had strong opinions of the Habsburgs as a son of pre-unification northern Italy. There are many notable arias and ensembles in Guillaume Tell, in addition to the extraordinary overture, but the finale with its hymn to liberty is as moving a piece that Rossini was to write, and for me, looks forward to the hope of Italian reunification and paves the way for the music of the Risorgimento that Giuseppe Verdi would write.
Oh!
Throughout his career, Giuseppe Verdi was no stranger to libretti that espoused nationalist causes. I Lombardi alla prima crociata, which turned into Jerusalem in French, Ernani, Attila, Don Carlo, and even Aida highlight nationalist causes of different countries. But it was in Nabucco, 1842, where Verdi tapped into the emotive vein of quote-unquote Italian sentiment that was to result in the 1861 Risorgimento movement that would consolidate the different states of the Italian peninsula into a single kingdom of Italy. In his opera Nabucco, the most famous moment in the opera musically is also the most heartfelt. The chorus of Hebrew slaves, Va pensiero sull'ali dorate, thought be released on golden wings. Italians pre-Risorgimento identified strongly with these Hebrew slaves deprived of their longed-for native land, defiantly patriotic in the face of their Babylonian, or Austrian, oppressors, and Va pensiero became a Risorgimento anthem and catapulted Verdi into fame and turned him into a hero. When Vittorio Emanuele II was installed in 1861 as the first king of Italy since the 6th century AD, Verdi became an acronym for Vittorio Emanuele, Re d'Italia, and cries of Viva Verdi resounded not just out of passionate love of the great composer's music, but also in support of the newly reformed nation of Italy and its regent. Nabucco for Verdi was written in the depths of personal despair. He had lost his wife and two children in the previous 2 years and was desperately hoping for a new success that would save him as a composer and as a man. After the failure of Un Giorno di Regno, Verdi was considering librettos to put him back on the path of success, and as he tossed the libretto of Nabucodonosor by Solera onto his table, it landed on the page where he read Va pensiero sull'ali dorate, and then could not get that line out of his head. The fervour that Verdi put into this opera therefore had two main catalysts: the loss of his family and his passion for a reunited Italy. The hope that Verdi's music came to symbolize is renewed each time Va pensiero is performed in Italy, sometimes to protest cuts in arts budgets or as a rallying cry to come together under COVID-19, or at joint sessions of Italian parliaments in Rome. Curiously enough, I had the good fortune to perform Va pensiero in 1999, as part of the celebrations of the opening of the Welsh Assembly by the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II. Towards the end of the last century, the Welsh people were passionately seeking more autonomy over their lives, and the creation of the Welsh Assembly was an act that was accompanied by great hope and excitement. And now the Welsh Assembly, which then didn't have any legislative powers, has turned into the Welsh Parliament, or the Senedd Cymru. And Va pensiero was played at this concert as a symbol of hope and unity for the future of the Welsh people. I was really so thrilled and humbled to be there at that moment in history. Even though this chorus is sung by a disenfranchised group of people, in Italy and many other countries of the world, Va pensiero has come to symbolize hope, freedom, and unity through the beauty of music and the voice. After all, the determined Hebrew slaves made their way back to Jerusalem, and the Italian peninsula was ultimately forged again into one united nation. A very different vision of hope is expressed at the end of Przychodzi Liszki Bystroszki, The Adventures of Vixen Sharp-Ears by Leos Janáček. Janáček, towards the end of his life, was even more impassioned by the worship of nature, and this so-called comic opera about animals and humans and their relationships with each other was a heartfelt response to post-World War I industrialization going on in Europe. The composer's message is that we must be in harmony with nature and learn from it in order to successfully keep humanity alive and hopeful. There's no shortage of sublime music written by Janáček, but the final pages of this wonderful score are a paean to nature, as the forester realizes the beauty of the natural world and the cycle of life after having lamented the loss of his beloved. He transcends into a blissful state as he succumbs to the lure of the moment, lost in the beauty and the charm of the present. In this excerpt, the forester has a charming little conversation with the grandson of a cricket he used to know, and also watches the cub of the now sadly deceased Vixen Sharp-Ears frolic about before falling over into an ecstatic swoon surrounded by nature. After the winter, spring will come again, and after death, the hope and promise of regeneration. Like to stay with Janáček for the moment, as he is a much underestimated composer. The final duet from his Yenufa is an extraordinary statement, both musically and emotionally. Yenufa has suffered the death of her illegitimate baby, been defaced by her lover in a fit of anger, and has just found out on her wedding day that her stepmother, Kostelnichka, actually killed her baby to save her from disgrace. After her shock at this discovery, Yennefer stoically forgives her stepmother, and after everybody leaves, she also asks her betrothed, Latza, to leave also, as he now cannot possibly wish to marry her. Latza replies tenderly that he will not leave, and will spend the rest of his life with her, and they sing a heart-wrenching but short duet, beginning in sadness but ending resplendent in hope and optimism, for a love born out of suffering and pain. The vocal lines are simple and heartfelt, but the pulsating orchestral accompaniment transforms their emotions to the transcendental. In the theatre, This finale is an utterly overwhelming experience of music and drama. Richard Strauss could often be described as a bit of a cynic in many ways. His witty and accurate portrayals of humankind in Der Rosenkavalier, The Rose Bearer, or Knight of the Rose, climax in a duet between young lovers of exquisite hope and tenderness, the last of quite a few exquisite moments in this opera. I choose this moment rather than the trio, for example, as it is a sincere, simple expression of hope for the future by two people who thought until then that they may not be destined to be together. I challenge anyone upon hearing this duet in the theatre not to feel hope for youthful love and the power of love to build a better future. Part of the magic also of this duet is the fact that it is sung by two female voices. So although Octavian is a male character and the duet is sung between a man and a woman, when you see and hear the duet live, you're subliminally reminded of the fact that it's two women singing a love duet to each other. And the nuance of this gender ambiguity, at least for me, celebrates the universality of love. And so now we return to where we started, with Beethoven's Leonore and the final few pages of this great work, celebrating hope for the future, equality, and also social justice. This hymn of praise to Leonore, the faithful partner of Florestan, who has braved everything to save him from an unjust death, is a wonderful chorus, celebrating the heroic actions of one woman in the face of overwhelming oppression, and thus highlighting the heroism inherent in each and every one of us. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast today. The excerpts that I highlighted are just a few operatic moments that are meaningful to me, and I'm sure there are others that express hope, optimism, and unity. Please feel free to share some of your favorite moments with me via the info@concertopera.org email address if you wish. I plan on posting a page in the next few days with some more source material if you want to do some additional listening, reading, and particularly if you wish to watch some excerpts on YouTube. I look forward to engaging with you all again very soon. Bye for now.